My faith, TV Network.
I don't want to go into too much details because there are some things I wanted to deal with on Sunday, God willing. So when Adam receives the animal skin and is living under the power of resurrection, then for the first time God sends him out of the garden into the world. And when he steps out of the garden into the world, he becomes what? A Gentile. Yeah? Okay. Now, what is it that continued to prove and to establish that Adam was living under resurrection power? His clothes. Are you following what I'm telling you? The resurrection power that was indicated to us in the Garden of Eden is brought to us. If you took a look at Adam, you will see Adam wearing animal skin, which will tell you that an animal has been killed and the blood of the animal propitiates God, and that the skin of the animal has been given to him to wear as a type of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you understand that? So when he steps out of the world, or he steps out of Eden into the world, he becomes what? A Gentile. Okay. Then God goes to a place in Mesopotamia, and he meets a man by the name of Abram. And then through Abraham, he establishes a relationship with a nation that is going to be born. Are you listening? He gives him a sign of the circumcision that will mean to them that this is a special nation unto God. So Moses goes to Egypt, brings them, and Israel is on his way to a place that God has promised so they can become a nation. And God gives them the Day of Atonement. Because to preserve the nation of Israel, once every year, the high priest will take the blood of these animals. And he will go into the most holy place. And if God accepts the sacrifice, are you listening to me? Then Israel will be preserved for 1 year. At the time of King Ahab, the nation of Israel is challenged by Satan through a woman that is called Jezebel. And she has taken complete control of Israel at that time because the king is directly under her power. God raises a prophet who becomes a symbol of the nation of Israel. And to prove to the nation of Israel that this man is the symbol of that nation, he clothes him exactly the same way he clothed Adam. If you look at Elijah, you will be told that Elijah, as the representative prophet of Israel, representing the nation of Israel, wore animal skin as a type of the slain animals and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, which he carries what? On his body. Are you listening to me? So everywhere he went in the land of Israel, he became an indicator, just like Adam. Anywhere Adam went in his day, that was the sign that the grace of God was upon his life and the generations that were to come out of him. The same way concerning Elijah, to preserve the nation of Israel, he goes around, he's wearing animal skin, and he becomes the representation of the grace of Almighty God upon the nation of Israel, born out of a covenant of grace. So you have the Gentile, so you have what? The Jew. Just before Jesus came, Because Israel had become so backslidden and they had forgotten everything concerning the oracles of God. He promised them that when the time is near, I will send Elijah back to you. So he will remind you of the covenant between the fathers and the children, and between the children and their fathers, and bring your hearts back to God. How were they going to be able to recognize Elijah? By his clothes. So John the Baptist is born in the same generation as Jesus. He should be wearing clothes like Jesus, but he doesn't. Why? Because his life is going to remind Israel of the grace of Almighty God that has kept them throughout the generations and will keep them. So he commands John, wear what? Animal skin. That's your fashion statement. So that throughout the generations of Israel, they will remember the grace of Almighty God that is indicative in the slain animal and the cloth or the clothes that Elijah and John the Baptist wear on earth. Are you still here? Okay. So, the Jews, the Gentiles have come through what? Resurrection. Then the third one is mentioned here. The church of God. Alright. So now Jesus comes into our world. Because all of those are types and shadows. They are animals. This is the real one now. This is the real one now. Are you still here? Okay. So now he's ready to go to the cross. Satan has looked at the pattern. He has seen the pattern. When he rises, he will give the clothes to this person. When he slays the animal, he will give them the animal skin. He slays the animal for Israel, he gives them the animal skin in Elijah. He's going to do the same with Jesus. So they are watching what Jesus is wearing on his way to the cross. At the praetorium, they had removed his old garments and worn him the royal robes and greeted him, "Hail, King of the Jews," to fulfill the fact that Rome will submit to his leadership when he comes. But they give him back his clothes. So as they proceed to the cross, when the time comes for him to be crucified, you know what the devil does? He takes his clothes from him. Because he's thinking, this clothes where he won't wear it now. If he wears it and you crucify him with him, when he gets out of the resurrection, he will give the clothes back to the church and that's it. And the resurrection power will stay with them for the rest of eternity. To stop him from handing over his clothes to us, they took what? They took his clothes. And the Bible says, they now cast lots. And the world, Satan and his world, took his clothes before he went to die. Therefore, if he is going to give us clothes, God will have to give him another attire. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? Because he's got nothing to give to us. They crucify him naked. So the devil is trying to prevent that because he has seen the pattern. So this is the real thing. Take his clothes from him. Let's see what God is going to do. Are you still here? So when he goes to the cross, he is naked. And the world takes his clothes. Satan is holding on to his clothes under the power of the Roman army. So he goes and he's buried in a tomb naked. When he rises from the dead, God switches from a physical outfit to a spiritual one. Because when he rises from the dead, he's no longer a living soul. He's a life-giving spirit. And therefore, he can't give you physical clothes. So what God does is he covers him with the linen, which is just a type of the righteousness of what? The saints. So that when you become a born-again Christian, just like Elijah, just like Adam, you will wear the clothes of your resurrected Lord. That is why in heaven we are seen with the linen. And they ask him, what is the linen? They said the linen is what? The righteousness. And the righteousness was only attained by what? The resurrection. Are you still here? Okay. So now, the church, you, myself, we are wearing this righteous garment that Jesus gave us that will keep us from now till everlasting. Okay. So the body that is the body of Christ that is now united to Jesus Christ is covered. So God said, go and tell John that I want to unveil Jesus to him. That is, I want to show him the church. Are you listening? Because when Jesus appears to him, he's what? He's covered. So if you are going to unveil him, the only place you are going to unveil, if you want to unveil me now, you want to unveil my head, you can see my head already. You can't unveil my hands, you can see my hands. The only part you will unveil is the part you cannot see. Are you still here? Okay. So, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are talking about here is really about you and myself. Why? Because there is a mystery that we are involved in that even you don't know about yourself, not to talk about the world. That is why, in time, when the world sees us, after the veil has been removed, the vision that they see of us is going to change the entire earth, because they themselves will be released into the liberty of the sons of God. Can you say amen? But for now, if you notice in the book of Revelation, he didn't show John. He didn't. Which means one thing, that what he was telling John was how to attain unto that revelation. How do you see the body? How do you see what is inside the robe or beneath the robe? By the following things. If you do the following things, the revelation will begin to come to you. Remember what Jesus said about a man who is born of the Spirit. He says that man is like the wind. And that the wind, you don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going. You can't figure the person out. Why? Because he is born of the Spirit and he's in a mystical relationship with Christ. Now, how do we know, how do we get the unveiling? By looking at Jesus. So the Bible says when John saw him, first he died. That means the physical stepped aside so that the Spirit can embrace the reality of what God was going to tell him. And then God showed him certain things about Jesus and certain things about his hands, certain things about his feet. Let's begin with that. For you to know who you are in your master, there are certain parts of your master that you must see. If you see those parts of your master and you understand those parts of your master, you will understand yourself. That's all it's saying. If you see his head white as snow, if you see his eyes as a fiery flame, if you see his mouth with a two-edged sword, if you see his hands, if you see his feet, the total combination will help you to understand what is beneath the robe. So, what I came here to tell you tonight is that you need to begin to understand that you should be asking God about yourself. You need to ask God, who am I? What am I doing here? What is this about? What am I supposed to be? Who am I supposed to be? What am I? Because if you don't know it, you cannot fulfill your mandate. Number one, his head. In the image that God gives to us about Jesus, his hair and his head are the same color. Let me say that again. You read it there. The Bible says his head. Chelukwan, let me show you again. Are you still here? Verse 14, his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His hair, his head were the same color. Did you know that the only thing that grows on your head when you become an adult is your hair? When you become an adult, your eyes don't grow bigger. Your nose doesn't grow bigger. Your mouth doesn't grow bigger. Your teeth don't get bigger. Your nostrils don't grow wider. Your mouth, you know, your ears don't become like bat ears. You're not. The only thing that continues to grow on your head is what?
your hair. At a point in time, the color of your hair differs. In fact, from the beginning, the color of your hair is not the same thing as the color of your face. It will become more evident as you grow older. After a while, your head will be black, your hair will be white. So there's a disparity. But in this, why? Because man in this form is malfunctioning. The thing that is coming out of the head, which is the place of authority, which is the head that is coming out of you, is contrary to the nature of your face or your head. But spiritually, your hair and your head ought to be the same color. Ought to be the same thing. Because in the spirit, what your head will produce will be the same thing as what is inside your head. Do you know that there are things about you and I tonight? There are things that this head, imaginations that this head produces, that are contrary to the desires of this head. There are thoughts that are coming out of your head tonight that are contrary to the good things that God has placed inside your head. There are dreams that are coming out of your head tonight that have absolutely nothing to do with the dreams that God has put inside you. But when God begins to reveal himself to you, the good thing inside you will be the same as the good thing outside of you. Your head will produce the right thing that God has placed inside. Your hair and your head will be the same thing. Everything that comes out of that place will be the same thing that God has placed on the inside. There will be harmony. There will be symmetry. There will be some kind of correlation that God will see that you and the things that you produce will become one and the same. And it will be to the praise and to the glory of Almighty God. Can you say amen? For now, in the physical, your head will continue to be contrary to your head. But one day, as the revelation of Jesus Christ comes to you, every thought, every imagination will be brought to the obedience of the word of God. And you will become exactly what God has purposed for you to do. And when your hair grows, it will be the glory of Almighty God that is coming out of that place. And men and women will recognize it because it will be like that of the Ancient of Days. Can somebody say hallelujah? Now, not only that, the Bible tells us he has eyes. And his eyes are not like ours. We are told that his eyes are like a flame of fire. In other words, he has fiery eyes. Now, the only fiery eyes I ever saw in my life was when I used to hang around musicians. When they don't smoke, you go finish. Smoke, cookie, and all those things. Their eyes would turn to this red like this fan. That's not what we're talking about. It's not talking about redness of eyes. It says, let me read it. That same verse 14. His head and his hairs were white like wool and white as snow, and his eyes were what? A flame. A flame of fire. Now, fire we know has two characteristics. One, it produces heat. Two, it produces light. If we bring fire into this place right now, it will light up the place. And it will produce what? Heat. So, and those two elements are to be found in our eyes. If we understand what is inside the eyes of Jesus, we'll understand what's going on in his body. That's what he's talking to you about. Now, it means that your vision from tonight must incorporate the element of fire, heat, and light. That means that God is looking forward to a day that when you look at something, you will be looking at it in the light of God's word. Because that light will so shine on that thing, it will give you the accurate measurement, the accurate image. It will expose and reveal that thing exactly the way it is. In other words, it will give you the right understanding. You will look at a thing and God will give you wisdom and understanding from what you see. Because you will be able to discern it clearly. That means you will know a hypocrite when you see one. You will know a liar when you see one. You will see a demon-possessed person, you will know. When Delilah comes, you will know. When Samson comes, you will know. When Obasanjo comes, you will know. When Abacha comes, you will know. You will know exactly what you are seeing because the images will be what? Clear! And when the images are clear, there will be no deception.
You listen to what I'm telling you. There will be no what?
Deception.
Why?
Because you are seeing very clearly. And if there is any form of darkness in that place, the light will cause it to recede. Because the darkness cannot comprehend that light.
Not only is there light, there's what?
The heat of the fire. That means there is a burning propensity.
You know, I used to do martial arts. I still do. And one of the things that they teach you is that when you meet with an opponent, you look at them straight in the eye. And if you are dealing with somebody who is involved in duplicity, you know, somebody who is neither here, and you know, all these people that are always trying to be smart, all you have to do is look at them directly and ask them that, did you steal? And psychologically, they tell you that if the person stole, you're not going to even know when they go say, yes, I did.
We hope you've been blessed with today's message. Join us again on this same station, same time next week. You can also pay us a visit to any of our services at our local assembly, the Household of God Church at Plot 4, Household of God Street, Kenny Bus Stop, off Kunrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. Our services include Sunday, 9 a.m., midweek service, Wednesday, 6 p.m. You can also visit our website on www.householdofgodchurch.com or email us at info@householdofgodchurch.com.
Younger place where the lights are shining bright. Jesus Christ will make all things alright. In His time, He'll make me really see. Otherwise, it really won't be right. But He's gonna put all my heart to rest. He's gonna put all my heart to rest. He's gonna put all my